As Vermont gets ready to see its lieutenant governor transition to the role of governor, we're speaking this morning with the man that Phil Scott is replacing, Democratic Governor Peter Shumlin, who chose not to seek re-election after three terms as the state's chief executive. Governor Shumlin, thank you so much for speaking with us.
It's great to be with you, Mitch.
You know, we wanted to have this conversation with you for so many reasons, but especially because so many changes are happening nationally after this presidential election that really could affect Vermont. And first, I'd like to know how you're feeling after the election of Donald Trump as president, and especially about his promise to repeal the Affordable Care Act. What do you think that would mean if he did that for the health care initiatives that you introduced in Vermont over the past 6 years?
Well, what I'm feeling is probably what a lot of Vermonters are feeling, a mixture of disbelief, fear, and apprehension about the future, and the hope that it's not going to be as bad as his rhetoric. So we got to move forward. In terms of health care, you know, what we've accomplished in Vermont is a part of the vision of President Barack Obama. We embraced the Affordable Care Act. We've signed up 20,000 Vermonters since I've been governor who now don't wake up in the morning without health insurance, making horrid choices between getting sick, going to get their health care that they need, or paying their bills. And we now, with Massachusetts, have the lowest uninsured rate in the country. We've literally cut our insured rate from about 13% uninsured, 13% down to 2.6%. If the Affordable Care Act is in fact repealed, it's going to take those 20,000 Vermonters and put them back in the situation they were in before. I just think that's untenable, and I hope beyond hope it doesn't happen.
President-elect Trump has not had a lot of specifics about what he would replace Obamacare with or the Affordable Care Act, but he has said that he would replace it with something. You know, and it's no secret either that Vermont's state-run health exchange had a bumpy ride, and a lot of people struggle with Vermont Health Connect. For those who may be frustrated, why should they not welcome a change in health care from the Trump administration?
Well, listen, I'm the governor of Vermont. I'm not the governor of other states, but therefore I can tell you that what you just said is not really true anymore. We had a terrible time getting our exchange working, as did President Obama and as did every other governor that chose to set up their own exchange. However, our exchange now is working beautifully. It's probably one of the best functioning exchanges in the nation right now. We're re-enrolling without the kind of glitches that we had before. Most Vermonters are finding that they're having a seamless process. And most importantly, Mitch, and this really matters, there has not been a Republican or Democratic governor for generations in this state, as long as I can remember, that haven't pleaded for universal coverage. We got it done because of President Obama's good work and Congress's good work. If we go back to a situation where folks are uninsured, where they go to emergency rooms for more expensive care, where we all pay for that, and in a state where we care about each other, how can we make this kind of progress and then turn back and say, you know what? We're going to undo it, take it away, and hurt 20 million Americans and 20,000 Vermonters.
One of the things that I find remarkable about this transition to a Phil Scott governorship is that he served as lieutenant governor during your tenure. And, you know, in his race against Democrat Sue Minter, outside political groups with the support of the Republican Governors Association ran some ads that were tying basically Sue Minter to you, saying that, you know, 2 years of her as governor would be a continuation of your policies, implying that that would be a bad thing for Vermonters. Now, Phil Scott did not create those ads, but they may have helped him win. How did it feel to see your legacy tied to a negative ad, really benefiting perhaps the man that you worked with in Montpelier?
Well, you know, Mitch, I look at these things pretty objectively, and I'd suggest that this is nothing new. If we look back at just recent history in Vermont, when Governor Dean retired, and there was some Dean fatigue, which there always is when a governor's done, they did the same thing to Doug Racine, and Governor Douglas prevailed. When Governor Douglas had served a long term, and there was some Douglas fatigue over his vetoing marriage equality and other issues, we sort of suggested that it was time for change. And Vermont has a long tradition of going since 1962, when Phil Hoff was the first elected Democratic governor of Vermont. We switch parties every single time, and this year is no different. Now, having said that, you know, we have an extraordinary record to be proud of. And I would suggest that some of the Shumlin fatigue, which you get at the end of any governor's term, is centered around the fact that we've gotten so much done, not that we've gotten so little done. And just look at the record fiscally. When I first came in, I had a $171 million budget deficit I had to fix, and we were using $171 million of one-time money. That means money that isn't there the next year. So you have this cascading budget problems every year. We fixed that. We literally had a an unemployment rate that was twice the rate that it is right now. We've created over 19,000 jobs in the state since I became governor. Let's not forget, we'd lost 7,400 jobs the 3 years before I became governor because of a tough economy. Now employers' biggest problem is finding people to do the work. We've gotten a lot done in terms of the first state to have universal pre-K for 3- and 4-year-olds, which I promised to do. We've doubled the number of Vermonters in early college and dual enrollment. We have moved to renewable energies with more enthusiasm and success than probably any state in America. We have literally 12 times the number of solar panels over the last 6 years. We've got 22 times the amount of wind power. Had some criticism of that, but it's working for Vermont. You know, you can understand why there's a yin and a yang here. We do this every time. We're now moving to a governor who, frankly, has a less ambitious agenda.
Well, I understand that you met with Governor-elect Phil Scott last week. I wonder, did you give him any advice? What did you talk about in that meeting?
Well, you know, the beauty of Vermont is it isn't Washington. You got to remember that Phil Scott and I served together in the Senate. We've been friends for a long time. He did the excavating work on my house. He built my driveway and put my foundation in when I built the house. You know, we were having this meeting at the same time that Trump and President Obama were meeting. And I said, you know, I'm glad that even though my mother was born in Holland, Phil Scott's never questioned my citizenship. And I have never said that he is unfit to be governor of the state of Vermont. But bottom line is, in Vermont, we're much more focused on getting things done on a bipartisan basis. So I'm going to do everything I can to help Phil and his team get ready for what is the toughest job in the state.
The script is flipped now. Progressive Democrat and David Zuckerman will be Phil Scott's lieutenant governor. Is there much that someone like David Zuckerman can do to implement the kind of policies, and I'm assuming here, that may be closer aligned to the ones that you were in favor of than perhaps Phil Scott might be?
You know, I'm going to be really candid about this, Mitch, and I think other governors would probably agree with this assessment. Lieutenant governors can't really do much. They can be an advocate for ideas, but aside from that, there isn't much happening in that office. And I think David Zuckerman understands that. I'm always amused when a governor goes out of state and I hear acting lieutenant governor is in charge. And I'm like, any governor knows that is not what happens. Your cabinet and you, because of cell phones, because of technology, you continue to govern in exactly the same way. It doesn't matter what soil you're on anymore.
Were you disappointed that Sue Minter did not win the election?
Absolutely. I mean, Sue Minter was an extraordinary Secretary of Transportation for me. You know, let's talk about gender here for a second, forgetting how qualified she is. You know, when I was chair of the DGA, we were down to one woman Democratic governor, Maggie Hassan, New Hampshire. So I went out and I recruited women all over America to run for governorships, Democratic governorships, and every one of them lost in the primary. And now we've just seen Hillary Clinton once again not be able to break the glass ceiling. I think we have to acknowledge that part of our sadness is the fact that we still discriminate against women when we choose chief executives.
It's kind of an extraordinary thing to suggest, though, Governor, because you're saying that people that elected Phil Scott over Sue Minter may have just been looking at the fact that she was a woman.
I think there's no doubt, and we can live in denial if we wish, that the reason it's so difficult to elect women governors and that we've never elected a president of the United States who's a woman is because we hold them to a different standard when we're hiring a chief executive.
Governors, when they leave office, they do different things. We're seeing that former Governor Howard Dean now wants to run again to become the Democratic National Committee chairman. What does the future hold for Peter Shumlin in politics, if there is one?
There is none.
Ever?
Ever. I'll tell you why, Mitch. I am a business person first. I was born and raised in the state, the first governor in a long time. Now Phil Scott's the second, who was actually born and raised here. And I've never wanted to live in Washington, D.C. I love being in Vermont. But most importantly, I see the governor's office as a way to give back to a state that gave me so much and my family so much. I didn't see it as a way of life. So my pledge to my family, to my wife, and to my kids was, I'm going to go all out and give this all I've got for 6 years. Then I'm coming back to be Pete Shumlin. The last governor we had from Putney was George D. Aiken. And I remember well as a kid, we always called him governor, even though he was a U.S. senator for years, because he wanted to be called governor. I want to be called Peter starting the first week in January. And I'll just add, you won't see me hanging around looking for a lukewarm chicken supper somewhere. It's been a great experience, biggest honor of my life. We've done great things for Vermont, and I now look forward to going back and being a private citizen.
Before the next time I see you and just call you Peter, I will say one more time, Governor Peter Shulman, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks so much, Mitch.